Hello guys, I'm back from holiday, having spent a lovely week in the Forest of Dean without any work. I thought it'd be time to get back to doing some of the podcast episodes and helping you to prepare for paper two. This podcast is dedicated to Hugo, who sent me a lovely email that basically said, can you do a podcast on everything on the UK? Which is pretty difficult to do unless the podcast is going to be about 3 or 4 hours long, seeing as the UK part of the economic world topic is massive. So I don't know if I can do the whole of the UK, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to break down into a couple of episodes, some key chunks for the UK. The first one today is going to be the North-South Divide. What is it and why does it exist? What are the strategies that we could use to resolve the differences between the North and the South? And maybe some questions that you can practice at home. All the interludes on this episode are courtesy of my daughter Alice and her musings on our cat Magnus. So enjoy. And that's following the feedback from Mark, who said that the normal interludes between the sections are too loud and cause him to have a bit of a fright. So off we go. So, what is the North-South Divide? It's basically a difference between the North of England and the South of England. This difference can be split into two key areas. Number one, there is a difference in the economy. The South typically shows greater signs of growth and prosperity. There's more money, there are more businesses who are generating more tax income for the government. Whereas in the North, growth is slower, it's more isolated to particular areas like Manchester and Leeds, for instance. In the South, most of the jobs and businesses tend to be quite high value, often in tertiary and quaternary sectors, so high tech. Technology, medical research, finance and banking in the City of London, for instance. Whereas in the North, whilst there are those service-based industries, definitely, they tend to be slightly lower value. And there's also maybe a little bit more manufacturing, more secondary sector activities than there is in the South. Overall, the salary for jobs is higher in the South than it is in the North. And there's also things like higher house prices in the South compared to the North. So those are the economic differences. The other differences are the social and cultural differences. This often ends up being quite focused on health. So we can talk about the fact that generally people in the North show slightly poorer signs of health than people in the South. The life expectancy of people in the North of England is maybe a few years lower than the people in the South of England. And that's linked to higher rates of smoking in the North of England. Evidence that there is slightly more evidence of poorer diet for people in the North of England. Slightly higher rates of obesity. All of that affects people's health. And as a result, the NHS, the government's spending on the NHS is slightly higher in the North of England than the South. There's also slightly higher levels of relative poverty for people in the North of England. And that's linked into the economic differences we just talked about. So there is a slightly higher dependency on social welfare and benefits payments maybe in the North of England than in the South. But these are all sort of broad generalisations. These are sort of sweeping statements. This isn't always the case. And you have to be very, very careful about not slipping into stereotypes. So what's the difference? What is the North-South Divide? It's a difference between the North of England and the South, being primarily focused on the economy and on social and cultural differences.
It's still purring.
Next thing you need to know is, why did it occur? Why is there a difference between the North of England and the South of England? The first and most often quoted reason is deindustrialization. So that is the loss of industrial manufacturing within the UK in the last 100 to 150 years. That process hit the north of England much harder than the south, kind of for two reasons. One is industrialization during the sort of Victorian era really took off in northern England, in cities like Manchester, Leeds and Bradford and Liverpool. These were the area, these were the big boom towns and cities grew, and their wealth was founded on manufacturing. So when that manufacturing left for places like India and China, etc., the North then suffered hugely. They were too dependent on manufacturing, and they weren't quick enough to respond to that change, whereas in the south of England, they were able to respond. So take the East End of London, which had traditionally been a huge port area, the Docklands. It was also an area of industry and manufacturing as well. You know, that changed within the space of sort of 20 to 30 years. It was redeveloped into one of the world's great financial and banking hubs in Canary Wharf and that area. So the South were able to respond to deindustrialization quite well. The North haven't, and they're still struggling. Another reason it occurred is that, sort of partly linked to deindustrialization, there was a large, and there still is a large, emigration of skilled and educated young professionals away from the northern parts of England to not only south of England, but also internationally as well. Ultimately, if you are very bright, you're very career-orientated, ambitious, you want to move to where the opportunities are greatest, and that isn't in the north of England. That has then like a multiplier effect, a knock-on effect, in that businesses don't want to locate in the north of England if there isn't the talent and the brains up there to hire for their business to be successful. One of the third points that I'd say about why it occurred is very simple. London is the capital city. It's the seat of power. It's incredibly important as a city. And it isn't in the north of England. It's in the south. London isn't just important in the country, it's important regionally as well. So even our local area is massively influenced by London. You look around Farnham, you see all the wealth that exists within our lovely community. A lot of that wealth is founded on the strength of the economy in London. A lot of people in the area commute up to London to work or have moved from London to this area. So London is the key driver for why the South is so prosperous and that separates it from the North. Fourth and finally, why does this North-South divide exist? I think over time there has been a huge significant infrastructure investment in the South. We've built things like the Channel Tunnel. There's been developments at Gatwick and Heathrow over time, not to mention City Airport and Stansted and Luton as well. The tube network through London continues to be improved, and you've got the Crossrail case study as evidence of that. The same level of investment in infrastructure, particularly travel infrastructure, is not the same in the north of England, and that has therefore allowed a divide, a gap to develop.
He has stinky breath.
Okay, final part then is, what are we going to do about it? What are the strategies that we can, or this country can deploy in order to resolve the North-South divide? There's a few key things that you could say about this. Number one, improvements in transport infrastructure. So one of the key areas to talk about here would be the high-speed rail 2 line that is being proposed between London, Manchester and Leeds via Birmingham. This will lead to faster and more efficient travel between these places, and that will then be a catalyst for the economies in the north. If they're well connected to the south, then businesses have less of a reason to not, you know, to have more of a reason to locate up in the north if they are within quick touching distance of the south. High-speed rail 2 is expected to connect about 30 million people very, very effectively. The London to Manchester train time will be just under an hour and a half. That's significantly down on the current travel times, which I think are about 2 hours and 45 minutes off the top of my head. So with 30 million people connected by an hour and a half, you know, that's half the population of the UK, and we'll hope to bridge the divide between the north and the south. A second strategy, and this is something that's referred to in a bit more detail within the textbook, the Caboodle textbook, are local enterprise partnerships. So the government are, local government, local authorities and councils are working with businesses to say, well, hey, what do you guys need? If you want to grow your business, or we want to attract more businesses, what is it that they need in this area? So things like spending more money in transport infrastructure in the way that businesses want them to, spending more money on updating the broadband network so it's super fast. And that hopefully over time will encourage companies to invest in that area. A good example of a local enterprise partnership is the Lancashire Local Enterprise Partnership, or LEP. This is an area that covers places such as Blackpool and Lancaster and Preston. They've developed things like, in 2013, they created what's known as a sort of business growth hub, an area where they've tried to attract small and medium-sized businesses. These are companies that will employ only a handful of people, maybe up to about 50 max. And their aim was to try and develop 400 new businesses in the area, and that would then create 1,100 new jobs. They also invested £20 million in improvement to transport, including some improvements to the M6 motorway. And they've also spent £62 million on superfast broadband. The government have also given permission to companies like Quadrilla, which is a gas exploration company, to start exploring for shale gas. So they are now starting to frack in areas around Blackpool for shale gas. And if that's successful and it's something that is allowed to happen on a commercial scale, that could be a huge boost for the local area in terms of jobs and the economy. A third final strategy really is the sort of wider government policy, the national government policy, to incentivize businesses to relocate to the north of England. Two really high profile examples are Nissan, the car manufacturer, who have been given various reassurances and tax breaks and basically money to stay in Sunderland and keep making cars like the Nissan Qashqai. Supporting a huge number of jobs, not just in the manufacturing, the factories themselves, but by all the supporting businesses that support those factories. The other high profile case in the last sort of 10-15 years was when the BBC decided to relocate large numbers of its operations to Salford in Manchester. They relocated from London, where almost all of their activities were based, up to Manchester. That was really significant, as the BBC is a huge employer. That's then allowed places like Manchester to then develop their economy. So Manchester now is a leading centre for digital media in the UK. Leeds, which is one of its nearby neighbours, is now a financial and a financial centre and a centre for call centres as well. Funnily enough, the Leeds accent, regional accent, is perceived to be very, very friendly, and therefore it makes sense to have people from Leeds in call centres answering your call. So the hope for the government is each one of the kind of areas of the north of England develops the specialism and can grow and develop. I think the final thing to finish on here is there is some people who really question whether or not it exists, whether we should really be talking about a north-south divide, or whether that's too simplistic. You know, in the north of England, there's an area known as the Golden Triangle between Harrogate, Leeds, and York. And, you know, house prices and affluence in that area is as high as anything in our local area. You know, there is a worry that stereotypes are allowed to be promoted. There was a TV show recently called It's Grim Up North, which kind of played on some of those stereotypes. So it is questionable, but from the point of view of AQA and your exams, I think it's safe to say that it does exist, that you need to understand why it's occurred, and you need to have an idea of how we're trying to resolve that gap. Do I think those strategies are going to be successful? Probably not. I think that the gap will continue to exist so long as we are a country with such a powerful capital city that dominates the south of England. Okay, next section will be practice questions.
He eats mice.
Okay, some past paper questions then for you to try out at home. So number one, these are going to go in order of difficulty and number of marks. So number one, probably a 2-mark question. Define the north-south divide in the UK. Second question, outline one cause of the north-south divide. That might be 2 marks. Maybe even 3 if they want to push it. Question 3, probably a 4-mark, account for the north-south divide in the UK. So account for being explain. Number 4, this is a 6-mark question. Discuss the strategies used to tackle the north-south divide. And then another question that I think they may well do is they might have a map, a figure that is a map of the UK with some data plotted on it. So that data could be life expectancy across the country or different house prices. And you might need to use that map along with your own knowledge to kind of, I don't know, describe it or justify the need for strategies to reduce the north-south divide. So that's where I think they could ask you those questions. Good luck in answering those questions. If you want any advice on your answers to them, then come and find me when we get back into school on Monday, or alternatively, you can email them to me. I'll try and pick them up. Okay, hope you enjoyed the podcast. I'll try and post another one tomorrow or the day after and keep trickling the knowledge and the information and the revision into you. Okay, take care. Bye, guys.
He's sniffing the flowers. Don't be picking.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.